I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
Hi there, I'm Lale Arakoglu, and welcome to an episode of Women Who Travel. This week, we're celebrating the publication of our 2024 Women Who Travel Power List, which spotlights 15 women across fields like film, music, activism, and food, and shaping how we travel and think about travel today. These women are offering unique insights from so many different angles and life experiences. To help me dive in and go behind the scenes of the making of the list is senior editor Megan Spurrell, a repeat podcast guest, my dear, dear colleague, a South America expert, and truly intrinsic in putting this project together. There were many reasons why I was looking forward to this chat. Well, happy Women's History Month, Megan.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I forgot there was a whole month.
But we're here today to chat about our annual Women Who Travel Power List, which I think the two of us have put a lot of, no tears, but a lot of blood and sweat into this year and last year.
A lot of hours.
A lot of hours, a lot of collaboration, a lot of moving parts. And I did, before we start talking about the list, I wanted to honor our hard work and Megan and I have worked together.
I can't wait to see where this is going. I'm like, you know, fiddling.
You're getting a present, basically. A little something to acknowledge you for all your work on this list.
What present? Is it something that's going to make me cry?
I'm actually interested to know what your response is going to be. And this has been a running joke that we've had for a very long time.
Wait, is this real? Where did this come from? Oh my, wait.
I didn't realize it needed to be assembled. So when we were going to the loo on the way down to the studio, I bustled off into the cubicle with my bag because I needed to put it together.
Is that why you were like, I'm going to bring my whole bag down?
Yes.
It's like, well, that's efficient. Okay.
So this gift that I'm handing Megan right now is very symbolic of our work together. When Megan first joined Traveler and we were really at the beginning of starting the Women Who Travel universe, Megan immediately raised her hand and was like, I want to get involved in this crazy enterprise.
I'm going to cry.
When Megan started, one of the first things she did was write an advice column. And we always joked that we needed one of those lip phones. So Megan can take calls from all of our travelers that needed her guidance and her help. So I finally got, here's your lip phone.
I can't tell you where my brain went when you were starting to pull it out and what I thought it might be. This is the best possible scenario.
I'm so pleased.
Thank you.
There were lots of different color options, but I thought we had to go for the classic red.
It's perfect.
The 80s
it's the only one.
Red lips.
I'm going to be insufferable in the office, and honestly, we might need to bring the advice column back just so I can use this.
I also think we should figure out if we can set it up so that it actually rings at your desk.
I mean, should I just get a landline? Like, be worth it.
I don't think I've ever seen someone use one of these landline phones.
You have to picture someone like kind of in a nightgown or like a satin slip, laying on her stomach on her bed, holding the phone, like feet are kicking in the air and she's gossiping.
Yes.
This is planning her night out.
This is a gossip phone.
Yeah. I can't believe I have one. This is such a long time coming. This is so perfect.
Megan used to be the Women Who Traveled advice columnist back in the day, dishing out all sorts of tips and guidance to our readers, including one woman who, like me, felt like her identity was tightly wound up in her travels and was losing her sense of self as a result of COVID lockdowns.
We let people write in, ask us their questions, anything about travel. So it could be tips for traveling with a friend who has anxiety. There was one that got big reactions. It was about someone wrote in who doesn't have sex on vacation anymore because they only take family trips and they really wanted some tips for that.
There was one about how to handle finances if you're traveling with a group of friends who earn more than you. I remember that one was, I felt relatable for a lot of people. You had some great solo travel advice. Also, I think one about navigating travel with a partner who maybe travels differently from you or doesn't like travel. Mm-hmm. It really ran the gamut, I thought. At a certain point, I had to stop distracting Megan with my dumb gift and actually talk about the list. Talking about that women who travel community, the power list really is a moment to acknowledge some of the leaders of that community, people who are driving the conversation, are shaping it in some way. Just kind of explain a little bit what this list is and why we're so excited about it this year.
We kind of describe it in a few different ways, but it's the women who are driving the way we think about travel right now. So they're creating interesting conversations. It's kind of like when I think about, you know, I'm at a dinner party with my friends who don't work in the travel industry but love to travel. The women I want to be like, have you heard of this, you know, cool fashion brand from Brazil? Or have you heard about this, you know, new wildlife show hosted by a woman? Like, they're the people I kind of want to bring up at a party and talk about, like, it's actually really exciting, even if you aren't in the industry like we are. So that's kind of how I describe the power list. It's like these women who are taking it the direction that I want it to go, that make me excited about how travel's evolving.
Often when you think of some sort of list of change makers or powerful people in an industry, you think of it very much as people in a corner office. It's CEOs, it's the kind of the suits that are the ones who are in control of a space. But that's not what this list is.
It's not just, yeah, CEOs of travel companies. It is people who work in fashion that brings us culture from another part of the world, or they make the clothes we want to wear on vacation. It is women who are directing movies and TV shows that kind of represent or encapsulate a third culture kid experience or an immigrant experience or any other type of travel. So I think it's not industry. It's kind of women who come at travel from all these different angles, which I also think is so relevant to how we think about the act of travel in general, right? It's kind of everything. It's food, it's music, it's all this stuff. It's not just the airports and the, like, packing your bag.
Unless you're sort of actually working on a magazine, no one knows what actually goes into creating these lists. It's not just throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks.
I wish it were.
I know, right? There's, you know, there's a long process. And we started working on this really, I'd say, September, October was probably when we first started having conversations about it. And now We're in March.
I mean, like so many things we work on, you know, we start brainstorming and we try and figure out what is the list trying to say about travel right now. And yeah, we see who jumps out and who's really making a difference. And again, those people that we want to bring up and talk about with other people in the industry, the people who inspire us to think differently about the work we're doing, but it's like who's really changing stuff.
We had multiple women with travel shows last year. We had Padma Lakshmi, and we had Eva Longoria, who had just released her version of Stanley Tucci's Italy travel show focused on Mexico with CNN. Both of those shows, I think, have been very well received and were very immersive and exciting to see these women. You know, for a little bit of context, anyone who likes watching travel shows has probably noticed that it's often men who are presenting them. It's a very, very hard space for anyone really who's not a white man, I would say, to break into. And also get their shows renewed. And something that was very noticeable to me while we were crafting this list was that there wasn't an Eva or a Padma this year. But we did have Ray Wynn Grant.
Today we're going to talk about apex predators. But we're starting at a place that you wouldn't normally expect to find large carnivores roaming around, right in the heart of Los Angeles. Griffith Park is this famous urban park in LA. So picture sprawling hills covered in trees and shrubs, just an island of greenery surrounded by freeways. And nestled in these hills is the iconic Hollywood sign. And all around it are wilderness areas where you'll find native wild animals roaming around, including this one particular mountain lion.
That was from Going Wild with Dr. Ray Wynn Grant, and the enthralling episode is called The Untold Story of California's Mighty Predator. She'll be appearing on the podcast in a few weeks. Coming up, a designer bringing Brazil to our closets, and even the ski slopes.
And if you are watching this video, either I'm dead or I'm in a very, very, very bad situation.
She said, oh my God, I can hear gunshots. I can hear men outside.
Where are they? What have they done to them? Are they dead? Are they not dead?
There is one suspect, her father, the Sheikh.
It's Madeline Barron from In the Dark. We've teamed up with our new colleague, Heidi Blake, at The New Yorker to try to answer a question about one of the richest men in the world, the ruler of Dubai.
Why do the women in Sheikh Mohammed's family keep trying to run away?
There's 5 policemen outside and 2 policewomen inside the house. So basically, I'm a hostage.
And he reminded me that Sheikh Mohammed can get me anywhere.
Because you're a rich and powerful person, you can effectively break any law you want in our country and get away with it.
The Runaway Princesses is available now. Follow In the Dark wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to level up? For me, it's my hiking boots, which have gotten me over some pretty tough terrain. And I'm not talking about my morning commute on the New York City subway. They've pushed me to go to far-off places like trekking in the remote mountains in Patagonia, wildlife spotting amid the thick rainforests of the Amazon, and climbing through canyons in the Utah desert. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. There's an available panorama glass roof, 33-inch all-terrain tires, and multi-terrain select driving modes. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior means that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Another big talking point in the context of women in travel is solo travel. This
always.
Is not a new trend. Women have always somewhere in the world been traveling, but they haven't necessarily had control of that narrative. The issue of safety comes up time and time again, and that means something different for different women. And it can feel prohibitive and it can feel scary for a lot of people. And daunting. Like, where do you start? Even just the idea of eating in a restaurant alone, if you've never done it before, can seem like a mountain to climb. And one woman that's on this list, who I think is a wonderful example of where you begin and where who you can become as a solo traveler, is Charlotte Simpson.
Our favorite
Charlotte, who has been on this podcast a few years ago.
She's a great definition of power, right? Like, she has just taken her life after her husband passed away, who she used to travel with, you know, she's taken her retirement and her time and her travels into her own hands. She's doing all these things. She's going to every corner of the world, traveling alone, sometimes traveling with her kids or friends. But like, she's, you know, she's an Instagram influencer. And that's what I want to see when I open my phone. I want to see, like, where's Charlotte? What is she doing right now? Because it makes me realize how much more there is ahead that I can't wait to get to.
Well, then I think also just what a joy to see a content creator and an influencer, because she is, not be 25 years old, 35 years old, you know, someone who actually has life experience and is seeing the world in a different way. And, you know, the fact that she's traveling under this Instagram handle, Traveling Black Widow, you know, she's owning her life's history and using it as a, you know, the driving force for how she travels now. You know, Charlotte is so glam. She's always dressed up when she's out in the world, no matter where she is. You know, I kind of think if there was anyone who had a lip phone in their house, it was probably Charlotte back in the day.
Well, I was going to say, and I just pulled up some photos to confirm, she always has a red lip. She's like, in my head, she's always got her jewelry matching and she has a red lip. And I'm confirming she does do the red lipstick, like on hiking among redwoods, like exploring cities. She's, I think, in Croatia here at the waterfalls. Like, she looks good wherever she is.
Which I love because, you know, I think both of us are quite, we're relatively like intrepid adventurous travelers at this point. We've got to go to some pretty out there places, usually on our own. And I also love fashion. I know you do too. Often we come into work wearing the same clothes.
We did have to text this morning to make sure we weren't wearing the same thing.
Which, you know, one could think is charming, but actually might be troubling.
Can you imagine?
Mortifying. And sometimes I feel like that people think there isn't a place for both. You know, you can't be out in hiking in the redwoods and also be wearing a red lip. The two things can't exist together. And I actually find that really annoying because I think because I love to dress up, I love wearing heels. I have a lot of people who always tell me that like I'm not that adventurous. And I'm like, I'm sorry, did you hike through Patagonia alone? Please show me the photos because I know I did. So seeing Charlotte out there just being her, I think is fabulous.
I guess it does give you this kind of a, like a Rick Steves or somebody here, or Samantha Brown kind of feeling like, all right, I need to really be knowledgeable about this place because people are going to be asking questions and I can't just be over here, you know, taking a bunch of pretty pictures of things. I've got to, you know, have a little something to say with it. I'll be writing captions. So many of my friends are still married and in a way they don't see themselves having the need to travel alone or wanting, just like I never wanted to travel alone. It wasn't even about not wanting to. It just didn't occur to me as a wife to travel alone. And as a matter of fact, the first trip my daughter and I did together, we went to Morocco at Christmas, and there were two ladies who were alone. And I would ask them, like, why are, and I feel bad now for asking with the tone that I used, but I was like, why are you alone? And it's Christmas, because I just couldn't understand. As a matter of fact, just the other day, a former coworker, well, anyhow, the other day she announces that she's retiring from teaching at 55. And I'm like, what? I couldn't believe it. And she's always saying how inspiring my pictures are. And she just had no idea I love travel so much. And I do feel part of it is just actually, even after this last year, that people sort of look at their lives a little differently. And she's single. She's always been single. And I think she just feels like, hey, there's a whole big world out there. And I am just going to just even try solo travel. I really think she's going to try solo.
That was a clip from Charlotte Simpson, or Traveling Black Widow, when she was on our show.
It makes me think about someone else on the list. Kátia Barros is the founder of Farm Rio, or if you're in Brazil, Farmy. And I was so excited to have her on here because I lived in Rio for a year after I graduated college. And I remember farm stores being like, just, they have these beautiful maxi dresses that are like bright, punchy colors and maxi floral prints. And she's been doing this for 25 years. So now she's honoring 25 years of Farm Rio. She's expanding to all these other countries around the world. And she's also not just making beach clothes anymore. She's adapting to the different places that the brand is expanding. So they launched a ski collection that's like, it is the snowsuits, but I mean, with rainbow stripes, like there are ski pants that have toucans on them, like these gigantic toucan prints. And it's so lively and so fun. And it embodies that, right? It's like you can be going down a black diamond and still like looking amazing. And I love that ethos. It's definitely relatable to us.
And that, you know, the domain of adventure and travel is always being dominated by the same type of people who are dressing and looking a similar way. And it's like, no, you can be in your, you know, very flamboyant printed ski suit and be the best skier on the slope.
Yeah. And like, I think what she said something really interesting when I interviewed her for this about how travel kind of gives you, or vacation gives you permission to kind of do whatever you want. And I think that idea is also really important for women, that it's like, we have so many different rules and expectations put on us. And I do think travel lets you step out of that a bit. It lets you maybe dress more boldly than you would at home. You figure you don't know as many people. You're up for trying something that, like, you maybe wouldn't usually. You'll go somewhere alone. Like, you'll do these things. You say yes to all these different experiences. And so I think it's, again, it's more than just fashion and clothing. It's about this, the way that we travel. And, like, that is so representative to me of how women travel right now.
You introduced Farm Rio to me a few years ago, and I had no knowledge of it. And when you were talking about when you travel, giving yourself permission to experiment a bit more, and that can often be with style. What is it about Farm Rio that was embodying Brazil for you, and, like, what you were discovering that you loved about Brazil?
I mean, at the time, first of all, I was a pretty broke English teacher. So I think I also just was like, God, this is so glamorous and I want it all and I can't have it all. But I think when Farm Rio opened their first store outside of Brazil, it was here in New York in, like, 2019, I think. And the store, I mean, you know, probably some mixed reactions, but it actually had sand on the floor. Like, you walked into a beach. Do you remember this?
I do remember that. And I'm just thinking, what an innocent time before the pandemic where I, like, walked into a store and I was like, they have sand on the ground. It's incredible.
Something that was also really fun for me, they were making these t-shirts that had really specific Brazilian snacks that you are sold on the beach in Rio. So they had a big graphic of these, like, Globo. I don't even know how to describe them. They're like biscuits or crackers, and I don't think they have a lot of flavor, but people love them. And they're just like, I feel like my Brazilian friends, it is childhood to them to see those crackers. And so the fact that they had all these people in New York who probably have never had a Globo Little Crisp, like, wearing these big shirts, it just, you kind of feel something when you see it and recognize it, and it teaches other people about the culture.
Staying in South America, you know, another person who's exporting their culture is the Colombian singer Kelly Uchis, someone that you really wanted to be featured on the list and I think is a wonderful, wonderful fit. And I love her music. What's she doing with, like, Colombian music and Colombian culture that's sort of resonating here in the US, and what dialogue is she creating?
Everyone is listening to reggaeton now. Like, I think it's just at this kind of fever pitch moment. What's interesting about Kylie is she grew up in Virginia, but to Colombian parents. So she's kind of looking back now on the immigrant experience of her parents, where she came from. And I think along the way, she's bringing all these Colombian sounds to people in the US. And I think I like to imagine that when people go to Colombia, where her parents are from, that they will feel like something's familiar because they've listened to Kylie Uchis' music. And I love that.
A lot of these women on this list are people that we've been following for some time, but they're different levels of known. I think listeners will be really familiar with a few of the names, but there'll also be lots of people to discover on this list. You know, there's common ground, as, you know, travel's the thing that ties them together, but ultimately, like, their life experiences and their backgrounds are incredibly different.
Yeah, I honestly am looking at it and I can't even group them. Like, because last year we had the people working in design, the people working, you know, with the shows. And it's just so varied this year. I think readers might see some names and know those people from work they do. I'm thinking of Quanah Chasing Horse, who has been on the cover of Vogue. She's a model. And I think people might at first be curious how we're tying it to travel. And again, we then get into her environmental activism, all these other things. And I hope that people will kind of realize how big a part of travel all these conversations are right now. Like, Quanah Chasing Horse is such an activist for indigenous rights, climate, land and water rights. She's been at the forefront of protests across the country for fighting for indigenous lands.
There are people who are driving the conversation for travelers. And this is not just in America. Quanah's from Alaska, so she is speaking to indigenous land rights in the US, but all across the travel space, in Canada and in Australia, in Chile, there are all these countries that are wrestling with their history and the land and whose land it belongs to. And that ties into the conversation of travel.
I think the way you put that into practice is, okay, figure out whose land you're on. Don't assume they're no longer there. Different countries have sort of marks of authenticity that they use to represent, like, this is an indigenous tourism experience led by indigenous people, probably owned by indigenous operators. And you'll find that in Canada. You will find that in Sweden.
Also, I imagine the money that you're spending on the experience is going to the right people. Back in North America, Emily Henry, author of books like Beach Read, People on Vacation. She has sold millions of copies for her romance novels that people are obsessed with.
I mean, if you've walked through a Hudson News and not seen everyone holding one, like, I don't know.
It's a Hudson News. It's the Sun Loungers. She's making so much money off writing beach reads, but she kind of does it with a wink, wink, because, you know, again, that first book that really like brought her into prominence was called Beach Read. She's writing a genre that doesn't always get taken particularly seriously. And often women are pigeonholed into writing, but she's doing it really well. Because I think it gets dismissed a lot.
I just think it's so common that women do something and then it's some art form and it's kind of seen as mainstream or somehow not as deserving of praise. And it's like, if she is selling more books at every single airport and every single bookstore and on everywhere online, selling so many more books about people on vacation than anyone else, she's doing something right and something else none of the men are doing.
She sold 6 million copies last year alone.
Yeah.
That's sort of in a publishing industry in 2023, 2024, that's quite rare.
She's speaking to an experience I have as a woman, falling in love with people on vacation or flings, and she knows how to do it in a way that people really enjoy. She's very good at it. And people have fun. They like enjoy her work.
The world's particularly heavy right now, and sometimes you do just want to escape, just immerse yourself in it. And I think it's fine to have fun and be silly, and that often, for whatever reason, we don't grant ourselves or others that joy sometimes.
Definitely.
After the break, how the Power List is inspiring mine and Megan's travels for the year.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then, I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
Regardless of where you're listening right now, all of Condé Nast Traveler's markets are sharing this list. So Condé Nast Traveler India, Condé Nast Traveler Spain, UK, Condé Nast Traveler Middle East, all of the markets are publishing this list on their websites. And I think that really speaks to how much of the world we've attempted to bring into this. And also, it just makes me want to travel. It makes me want to go and experience a bunch of the stuff that these women are talking about or are creating. Where do you want to go and for whose work?
I mean, so I also interviewed Laila Gohar, and I want to go see...
Wait, who's Laila Gohar for the uninitiated?
She's an artist. She does these very surreal food installations. She made these gigantic cakes that were in a garden in a hotel in Paris. And it just looks very, like, almost a little Alice in Wonderland-y, but gorgeous, like, just really... It's like, I want to go see a hotel that has one of her installations. I also think about Aditi Dugar, who's a chef in India. She has a restaurant called Mask that just sounds incredible, and they're doing these different pop-up experiences around the country.
Well, and she... It's quite extraordinary to actually say this out loud, but she was the first woman to be in the 50 best restaurants in Asia list. That's 50 in one list. And she was the first woman. That list comes out every year. I mean, that's wild.
And I think what's so cool is, you know, you talked about how we've been following these women. Like, she started this work a long time ago, but it really is coming to a head now. I also think Anomian Smith, who does really sustainable, really integrated in the natural world, like safari camp design. Like she designed Camp Sarika at Amangiri in Utah. Like, send me there immediately, please. I would love that.
You're distracting me with your lip phone.
Sorry.
Stop playing with the lip phone.
Excited.
I can't wait to just toast to ourselves and also toast to the women on this list. There are a few points when we thought we wouldn't get it out of the door, when we were negotiating access to interview 15 people in 15 different places in the world, which is no small feat. But we did it in the end, didn't we?
And then it comes out and it looks amazing. And there are these photos and videos of the women featured all around the world. And I immediately forget about that. And I'm just excited that it's there.
And it's so substantial. So if you haven't had time to read it yet, go on to womenwhotravel.com, follow us on Instagram, sign up for our newsletters, and really dive into each of these 15 profiles. I think you'll discover some amazing people in their stories. Next week, an author and her daughter tell stories of Cambodia and its noodles, and how food came to be an act of resistance. I'm Lale Arikoglu, and you can find me on Instagram at Lale Hannah. Our engineers are Jake Loomis, Nick Pittman, and James Yost. The show's mixed by Amar Lal. Jude Kampfner from Corporation for Independent Media is our producer. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio. See you next week.
Hey, it's Chris Klemek here. If you like this show, you might enjoy There's More to That. It's a new podcast from Smithsonian Magazine and PRX where I'll be talking to journalists around the globe, taking inspiration from the Smithsonian Institution's museums and research centers and using insightful reporting to explore the mysteries of the wider world. Plus, every episode comes with at least one conveniently packaged fact for you to share at your next dinner party. So check us out. Subscribe to There's More to That from Smithsonian Magazine and PRX. And find out how much more there is to almost everything.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.